All right. Well, good morning, everybody. So glad to have you with us today. We are going to talk about the love of God today. I was waiting in line at the post office a couple of weeks ago, and I saw a card on the rack that said, "Do you ever wonder if anybody loves you? If you really matter to anyone? If anyone really cares? Do you ever wonder if there's anyone who will always be there for you, no matter what and no matter when?" And then on the inside it says, "We all wonder about these things sometimes." I thought it was kind of humorous. Maybe you don't, but you expected to open it up and saying, "Well, I'm the one who loves you like that." But instead it just says, "No, we all wonder about those things sometimes." So it's kind of a humorous letdown. But the reality is we do all wonder about those things sometimes. Paul David Tripp said, "There are two questions every human being asks. Will someone love me? And once they know me, will they still love me?" And he went on to say, "The unceasing longing of every human being has to do with love. Everyone cares about love. Everyone talks about love. Everyone worries about the vulnerability of love. The highest human joys are connected to love, and the greatest human fears are about love. And the most painful human moments have to do with love." Well, in our present world, in this present world, our experiences of love never quite live up to our hopes and expectations. Romances end, marriages fail, and many that do hold together are far from happy marriages, or at least as happy as those in them would like them to be. The love of friends and family are never perfect, and we ourselves have failed to love others who wanted and needed our love. But into this world of broken hearts and disappointment with love, the Bible tells us about a love that is stronger than all creation, a perfect love, a love that satisfies our deepest longings, a love that's everlasting and never failing, and that, of course, is the love of God. There's an old love song from my generation. The title is simply, "Love Can Make You Happy." And it basically goes on to say, love can make you happy if you find someone to share a lifetime with you and has a love that's true. And that may sound trite, but that is profoundly true. To be loved and to know love is the greatest human joy. And ultimately, we find that love only in the love of God. David said to God, "Your love to me is better than life itself." It's not just the best thing in life. It's not just a really good thing. David said, "I value it more than my own life." God's love is an unchanging, a faithful love. He loves you all the time, and he loves you forever. The Hebrew word for God's love is translated loving devotion in the Berean Standard Bible. It's translated steadfast love in the ESV and unfailing love in the NIV and sometimes in the King James Version. But the idea is that it's a love that is enduring, and that's why it's translated steadfast or a devoted love. And as Paul said, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. God's love for you is stronger than any power in heaven or on earth. And absolutely nothing that has happened to you or ever will happen to you, good or bad, nothing that anybody does to you can diminish the love that God has for you or keep you from the love of God. Romans 8, Paul said, "Shall trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate us from the love of Christ?" And the answer is no. neither life or death, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present or the future, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this morning I want to go over several, I think, amazing things that we need to know about the love of God, or amazing things that is revealed to us in the Scripture about the love of God. First, the love of God comes to us from the Father and the Son and is poured into our lives by the Holy Spirit. So, in reality, you are loved by the Trinity. You are loved by the triune God. You are loved by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus loved his disciples. He told them he loved them, and they knew it. John said, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But Jesus also told his disciples, the Father himself loves you. John 16:27. And Romans 5:5 says, the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. There's many verses that speak about God's love for us, and there's other verses that emphasize more the love of Christ or the love of Jesus. The book of Revelation begins with a doxology to the love of Christ. Now to him who loves us and has released us from our sins, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Paul emphasized the love of Jesus for himself. He said, he loved me and gave himself for me. And it was obvious that that meant all the world to Paul. Jesus Christ is Lord and King, but he is also the one who loves you. There's an old Christian song that says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that's so true. And no one ever loved you like Jesus. And no one ever will love you like Jesus. Second amazing truth about God's love, the revelation that God is love means not just that God can show love or that God can sometimes do loving things, but that he is love. Love is the very essence of God's nature. And so God is not detached or indifferent to our lives and situations. He is never cold or unloving. He is love. He passionately and affectionately loves us. Our relationship with God is spoken of as a marriage relationship all through the Scriptures. I remember when I ran across Hosea 11, verse 8, many, many years ago, I was so impressed at the affection and compassion of God described there. And in that verse, it's speaking of Israel, or God is speaking to Israel as his unfaithful wife. And God said, but how can I give you up? How can I surrender you? My heart is turned over within me, and all my compassions grow warm and tender. That's a God who loves his people passionately. Peter Kreft said, God is a lover. He is not a manager, a businessman, accountant, owner, or a puppet master. And what he wants from us, first of all, is not a technically correct performance, but our heart. The essence of the Christian life is love because God is love, and the entire Christian life begins with God's love for us first and then our love for him. So love is the essence of life for us. Of course, the world has twisted the truth that God is love to mean that God condones our sins and affirms us in our sin or along with our sin. The logic is that because God loves you, he wouldn't change you or anything about you. And that's just not true. There's an old saying that I heard long, long time ago. God loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you just like you are. Even in the church, there's a subtle but dangerous error that God loves us because we are so amazing and awesome, or he celebrates us for being so special, and all of a sudden the love of God becomes about us. And the scripture does say that God sings over us, and he delights in his people, and God does treasure you, but God loves us because God is love, not ultimately because of something in us. And I think a lot of people struggle with feeling God is God's love. They struggle with feeling God's love because they're trying to look within themselves to see if they are lovable at that particular moment or on that particular day or not. But if someone asks you, why does God love you? You can say, because God is love. And I think this is a very important truth, and because the world has so perverted or distorted the idea of God's love, we must not let that keep us from proclaiming that God is love. That is our truth. Don't let the world steal it from us. Shout it from the mountaintops. God is love, and he loves me. That's our truth. And it's impossible to overestimate or overemphasize the love of God. In fact, the scriptures indicate that it takes prayer and revelation for us to even be able to begin to comprehend how vast and great the love of God is. It's the pinnacle of God's revelation about himself. It's the love of God is behind the story of redemption. It's behind the story of our salvation. It's what drives the story of our redemption and salvation. God is love, and we are a people who are loved by God. That's absolutely foundational Christian truth. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love is this? Or what kind of love is this? That the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are, beloved children of God. Third amazing truth about the love of God is that the love of Christ for you is the gateway to being filled with God. Paul prayed for the Christians to be able to comprehend the length and width, the height and depth of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that or so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:18 and 19. In other words, it is knowing the love of Christ and its fullness that leads to a life that is overflowing with the fullness of God. I truly, you know, we all talk about, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, a big element in being filled with the Spirit is knowing the love of Christ. And people who talk about God, people who love God, people who are excited about God are always people who know that Jesus loves them deeply and fully and are convinced of that. And this is it's a knowing or a revelation. It's a knowing that God gives you, and it doesn't necessarily come with age or maturity. You can know the love of Christ if you've been a Christian for a few days or for decades. You can know the love of Christ if you are 5 years old or 75 years old. It's something that is given in a knowledge that God gives you in your heart, and you just know it. That you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it amazes you and overwhelms you. And I've seen little children overwhelmed with the love of Jesus, as well as very, very old people like me. Fourth, the love of God for you is the same love that God has for his own son, or that the Father has for his own son, Jesus. In John 17, Jesus prayed to the Father that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. So he wanted He wanted everybody to know that he loves his believers, his disciples, his followers, that the Father loves them just as he has loved me or the Lord Jesus. In verse 26, the last thing Jesus prayed to the Father was that the love you have for me may be in them. So Jesus wants us to know the extent and the perfection of the Father's love for us. And the thing that he's revealing in that prayer is that God loves you with the same love and affection that he has for his own son. And he doesn't love you any less than that. Fifth amazing thing about the love of God, the supreme evidence of the love of God is found in Christ and especially at the cross. Romans 5:8, God proves his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:9 and 10, this is how God's love was revealed among us. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And love consists in this: not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So God gave us a proof, a demonstration for all time of the extent and the greatness of his love for us in Christ. And so when doubts or fears or uncertainties come your way about the love of God or the extent of God's love for you, you go and you look to the cross. And there you will see the ultimate display of his love for you. God did not spare his own son, but gave him for you. And then related to that, maybe kind of a sub-point, but you can look at it as a separate thing that's amazing about the love of God, is this. The love of God is an objective reality. There's an action in history, the cross, that proves it. And your faith receives his love, but your faith doesn't create his love or make it real. The love of God is always there for you. It's felt and experienced at times in more or less powerful ways, but it is not merely a feeling or a sensation. It is the truth all the time, and it never changes. It's a reality regardless of any feelings or experiences that we have. You know, I heard a conversation on the radio recently where a very old man was telling how he fought in several battles in World War II and obviously he was never killed, but he was saying he was never even wounded. And the person who was interviewing him says, "Wow, somebody upstairs loves you." Now, aside from the fact that I hate that expression, "somebody upstairs," because I think it's a very irreverential way to refer to God, but the point is, that's how many people view the love of God. If things are going good for you, or if things went well for you, then somebody up there must love you. And of course, we should see the love of God in times when we're protected and things go well. We should. But ultimately, the overwhelming message of the Bible is that it tells us of a God who loves us through anything that could ever happen to us, good or bad. The love of God itself in Christ is our constant blessing, no matter what is happening, and it's ours whether we live or whether we die. And it'll even be more fully experienced when we die. And yet, a person, I believe, and this, I see this in the Scripture, but I also see it very much in personal experience. People who I know who know the love of God and enjoy the love of God, they see and experience the love of God virtually everywhere and everything. And I think that's true. A person who knows that God loves them and loves them very deeply and very much, they begin to see and experience the love of God virtually everywhere, in everything, in the blessing of sleep. You know, last night I fell asleep at not much after 8 o'clock, and slept most of the way through the night till 5 this morning, and man, I felt so good, and I just got up and said, wow, praise God for you give sleep to your beloved. And man, I said, I appreciate that, Lord. You loved me with such a, you showed me such love with a great night's sleep. But, you know, if we know that God loves us, we begin to see his love in a good night's sleep, and each new day, and a sunrise, and a sunset, in a good meal or a good cup of coffee. You see it in your spouse, your children, your grandchildren. You see it in blue sky, in a great song, even maybe in someone's smile. You just begin to see the love of God everywhere. And Lissa was telling me on her trip how when she goes into her piano room and plays her piano, often there's a same bird comes and sits on the windowsill and sings outside her window, and she feels the love of God. It's just, wow, that's the love of God right there. And Psalm 136, among many, many other things, but it says, the sun and the moon and the stars, and in the way that God gives food to every creature, in that song, it causes the writer to proclaim over and over and over, the steadfast love of God endures forever. Sixth, maybe, or seven, not sure, but anyway, the next thing, amazing thing about the love of God is that the love of God solves our problem of fear. You know, fear is so pervasive in our lives, and it comes in so many different forms, of course, worry and anxiety and stress, and you talk to a lot of people, even Christians. You just there's just a strain in their voice and the way they talk. There's some form of fear in their that's kind of captivating their mindset and their hearts. The love of God solves our problem with fear. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's Luke 12:32. And really, what Jesus was saying there, it's the generous, kind, loving heart of God that drives out fear. You don't need to fear, because the Father delights to give you all good things. It's the Father's delight to give you the kingdom, the whole kingdom. That's the love of God for you, and it drives out our fears. And John said in this passage that we had in our scripture reading, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. And there's just a general principle. John's going to apply it to some certain things that we're not going to spend a lot of time focusing on this morning, but there's just a general principle that there's no fear in love. And knowing the love of God drives out fear, and every form of fear, dread, anxiety, worry, stress. It drives out fear of the future. It drives out fear of man. It drives out, and the thing that John mentions, it drives out fear of the day of judgment. And John said, if anyone is still living in fear, the problem is not perfectly or fully knowing the love of God. If anyone fears, he's not been perfected in love. And so the solution to fear is more perfectly believing, knowing, experiencing the love of God. And you do see that in people. People who live in the love of God are generally more carefree. There's a happiness, a security, a stability, a looking forward to the appearing of Jesus. We're not shrinking back in shame, because we are abiding in Christ and in the love of God. Next amazing thing about the love of God, it solves the problem of insignificance. The world tells us that we are nothing more than a collection of atoms and cells evolved by random chance over billions of years. And ultimately, that means you don't matter. If that's true, if evolution is true, if what the world tells us is true, that means ultimately means we don't matter. But the Bible tells us there is a God who made you and a God who loves you, and you are not unknown or unnoticed. God cares for you. He thinks about you with a heart of love. It's personal, very personal. God loves you to the very innermost part of your being. Again, Peter Kreft said, "The cross has my name on it. His love letter to me does not come addressed, 'Dear occupant.' He gathers his sheep one by one, calling each by name," John 10, 1 through 3. Your name is uniquely yours, and God knows you by name because that is what love is, intimate, personal knowledge of the beloved one. Next, and last that I'm going to share, the last amazing truth about the love of God is that God's love liberates us to really genuinely and freely love each other. John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And God, love has the amazing transformative power to change us from self-focused, self-centered people into people who love. We love because he first loved us. That's just who we are. We love. We are God's beloved children, so we give that love to the people around us. All right, I want to end with sharing some things about how we grow in knowing and experiencing the love of God. The first I would say is to set your mind on the love of God as revealed in the Scriptures. There's one of my favorite choruses that I like to sing is when Don Moen sings, "Think about his love." And it's just such a powerful admonition, really. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. Think about these things. Amen. And what we set our mind on is really, God has just made us so that what we set our mind on is than how we live in our heart. I mean, it's what we feed our mind that affects our heart and soul. So set your mind on the love of God as revealed in the Scriptures. Verses like Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever." And there's Psalm 136, which we referred to earlier. I mean, I think it says, 20 or 30 times in that psalm that the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Jeremiah 31:3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving devotion." And there's so many verses in the Scriptures that talk about the love of God, the steadfast, unending love of God. And so in one sense, to grow in the experience of God's love is as simple as the truth that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Second, believe in and trust in his love for you. From our Scripture this morning, we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. So, I mean, that's something that has to happen in your heart. You have to come to know this and to believe it. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. Have you come to that point? Do you know and believe the love that God has for you? So the love of God, the amazing love of God, is there for you, but you do actually have to take God at his word and believe it and receive it with childlike trust and then live in it and enjoy it every day as just a daily practice. You have to become convinced of that, like Paul. I love the way Paul starts out the Romans 8 passage. "I am convinced that nothing in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think a part of believing in the love of God, trusting in it, is confessing it and speaking it or saying it out loud. Psalm 92:2, it is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. It's just really important to say it out loud. Like David said, your love, O Lord, is better than life to me. Talk to God like that. Recognize his love. Proclaim it. Third, and this may surprise you some, but it's a principle right here in this scripture in 1 John. Do loving things to others and for others, and you will experience the love of God more fully yourself. 1 John 4:12, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So if you want a more perfect understanding and experience of the love of God, it says, if we love one another, that will happen. And I think it's amazing how just giving someone a smile or starting up a conversation with a stranger or giving someone a word of encouragement or laying down your life for someone in some way fills your own heart with the love of God. If we love one another, his love is perfected in us. And, when I took care of Cindy the last few months of her life, I was never more filled with the love of God at any time in my life than in doing that. Next, practice daily obedience to the Lord. Simply obey God. Obeying God is a way to abide in the love of God. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. It's John 15:10. And whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. John 14:21. You know, a lot of people struggle with feeling God loves them just because they are living in a known disobedience to him. And God's love does not begin God's love for us does not begin when we begin to love and obey him. But Jesus did say that greater manifestation of the Father's love are revealed or made manifest to those who love and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last, just simply ask God for a fresh awareness of his love. You're not asking God to love you. We've already established that he does love you, and it's been proven at the cross and through Christ. But we should, it's all throughout the scripture of asking God, I think, for fresh awareness of his love. Psalm 143:8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. And you know, if you're going having a rough day, if you wake up at the night, or maybe you're having a rough night, life just seems hard in the middle of the night, just say, Lord, well, let tomorrow morning bring me a fresh word of your unfailing love for me. It's a really sweet experience as he does that. Bring me a message, a fresh awareness, a token of your love for me today. Moses prayed in Psalm 90, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. And then we should follow the example of Paul from Ephesians 3, I think we should pray for ourselves, for others, for the whole church family especially, often that we would be able to comprehend the length and the width and the height and depth and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And so we should pray for that. That's something we should pray for one another about often. Well, words cannot express the love of God. And with all that I've said this morning, I feel I've only barely scratched the surface in being able to describe the wondrous love of God. So just in conclusion, I'll say this. The love of God is the complete answer to life. The love of God is the perfect love that you long for. The love of God satisfies our soul and it makes us whole. The love of God frees us from seeking love in all the wrong places and all the pain that goes with that. The love of God calms our fears and comforts us in our sorrows. It's the ultimate source of our happiness, and it is the greatest thing in life. And even when life seems all wrong, we truly can say that everything is all right. Because God loves me. In the night watches, God's love is there. And when you wake up in the morning, the love of God is there to greet you. The old hymn says, "The deep, deep love of Jesus is underneath me, all around me, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me." Wow, wouldn't it be great if we comprehended how immersed we are in the love of God? But you do have to decide that the love of God matters to you. You do have to decide that you care about being loved by God. You do have to decide that this is a great treasure. And you do have to decide that you consider yourself amazingly blessed and happy because you are so greatly loved by God. And so I pray that we would value this precious gift and enjoy it. All right, let's pray. Father, awaken our hearts to this precious gift, the love of God that is ours, day and night, forever and ever. God, we love you for loving us first. Thank you so, so, so much. In Jesus' name, amen.